This is why our only account for you was that it seems this evening relative to the acclamation of the Ark and the Lamb of Zen. I'd like to draw your attention to something that Brother Pat has presented concerning the idea of the field day. Not the way that I'm allowed to respond to this particular idea of the Pentecostals would have a field day with me is to go to our website. Click on our archives and go to the play that I have with the Pentecostal, Pentecostal preacher back in, I believe, 1994. And I'll just let you decide whether that particular individual had a field day with me, Brother Pat, saying that the call I hold, the position that I hold. A man's Brother Pat still wants to smear the difference between the idea of this concept that he says is universal, and then he wants to pull this out and say, well, now, Tom, you're saying it's universal. Friends, please understand if you would please that when I speak of the New Testament period, the miraculous period of time, it is by the very nature of the things that certainly all the blessings that Christians were to receive were present prayer. But there was a special manifestation of the Holy Spirit that cannot be applied to people today. And so when Brother Pat uses again the idea of the universality that he's talking about, you need to understand what is he saying? Is he saying that I am saying that there is not mercy, there is not grace, etc., etc.? I believe the chart that I have presented in the first speech relative to the truth concerning Jesus Christ and the 10 items with only one of those being false. And I want you to keep that particular thought before your mind, if you would please, because that shows beyond a shadow of a doubt that I do not reject any of these particular things. But Pat is wanting to blur this. He is not wanting you to remember that, yes, there was a miraculous age. And certainly all the spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1 and 3, are in Christ Jesus. And they had those in the first century, and they had those in the 24th, have those in the 21st century. But friends, there is a period of time in which some of the statements, some of the promises that are found in the Bible cannot be carried forward until today, or unto today, and say that we have application. Brother Pat is taking many of the passages of Scripture that refer to the miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit. For instance, if you'll run the search of the word holy and code for holy in spirit, and various forms of the word give or gave or has given or received, you're going to find that many instances, if you remember the charts that he has presented, with the basic idea that we're looking at here, friends, is indeed this fact that it is referring to the Spirit of God. I want to know this company, if you would please. He asked me concerning children. What's the difference? The difference between gender and plural. Now, Ben, if you don't think that is very interesting or very important, I ask you to go to Galatians 3, where Paul will make an argument distinguishing between gender and plural. It is indeed most interesting. Well, so let's look at this. Friends, to draw your attention back to Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. And certainly, I believe that, and I will understand that this is a crucial character that we really have to look at. Now, Pat seems to have in his mind some idea that somewhere in this debate, I have denied the basic idea that the bar hall refers to the Gentiles. Now, if I had time to look at this and to look at all of the things, I believe that I could produce several occasions, at least two, and maybe more, where I have admitted the far-off ones that are in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, refer to the Gentile. But friends, notice what is the context. The gift of the Holy Ghost was promised. It was promised to them, to you, those that are here, your children, that is, that next generation. I've already said that from Joel chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, where Joel, who is the background, or which is the background of Acts chapter 2, is setting forth the idea of the definition of the word children. And so as we look at this in Acts chapter 2, he says the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit is to you and your children and those that are far off. I presented the thought the other night. Brother Pat, all you have to do is look at 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14, where Paul discusses any of the problems that the Corinthians were having over the spiritual gifts. I admit that. And the gift of the Holy Spirit, not his definition, but my definition, went to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 19, 1 and verses following, Paul laid his hands upon some individuals after he had taught them the truth relative to the great commission baptism, and he bestowed to them the authority, or to them 4, because I've been talking with all a Gentile church, Paul has certainly mentioning their spiritual gifts. Friends, there can be no doubt they have gone wrong. But that seems to think that that has to refer to the Gospel of Paul in some way or another. But certainly, I have admitted that, and I will continue to admit that. The promise is to you and your children and all who never fall off. And certainly then, there is, beyond any distinction at all or discussion at all, that that applies. Maybe I'm missing something in your argument. I believe, he says, that I will accept that. I've always accepted that. I have taught that for years, my friends. Now, I know what I have said that led him to believe that I don't believe that. And so I want it clear. Everybody listen to me. They have gone wrong in Romans, I'm sorry, Acts 2, verse 39, refers to those, the Gentile people. And Paul, one of the apostles of Jesus Christ, went to the Gentiles. He was, in fact, referred to as the apostle to the Gentiles, Galatians chapter 2. And so, whatever his argument is, friend, but the fact still remains, there is as many as. Now, on this turn, if you would, to Joel chapter 2, and let's look at the passage that he is presenting here. Joel chapter 2. Well, he says, Paul has admitted that there is deliverance. I have never denied that Acts chapter 2 refers, that is, the remission of sins has never referred to, or as the Greek phrase says, I have admitted and I believe that the deliverance from sin is under consideration. But notice, if you would, in verse 32 of Joel 2, it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Now, that is that salvation, I think he would admit. Now let's go on now. Let's look at the passage. Shall be, notice, delivered. Only now Zion and in Jerusalem shall be delivered. Who is denying that? As the Lord hath said, they are the king and all upon the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now, is he saying there is going to be deliverance? Then there is going to be deliverance? Friends, I would suggest that we need to understand that certainly this idea of deliverance is there. But I will ask a question for your consideration tonight. Is the miraculous found in Joel's prophecy, chapter 2, that Peter quotes? Is it there? Now, is it or is it not? Peter says, this is that. Now, was it Joel's prophecy? Was the things that your daughter prophesied, was that according to Joel's prophecy or not? I would pour out from my spirit, said the apostle Peter. He didn't say he would pour out the spirit. I would pour out from my spirit. And it is that which flows from the spirit, the power that was manifested. For if you read verses 31 of Acts chapter 2 and in verses 1 and 3, the apostle Peter said, that you said these things which you see and hear. Were they seeing the Holy Spirit? Ah, they were seeing the manifestation that came from the Spirit. They were receiving, receiving the results of the Spirit coming, and they were hearing these things. These men were speaking in tongues that they had never studied. And so, the question is, in the miraculous, in Joel 2, did Joel prophesy of the miraculous demonstrations that were evident specifically in Acts 2? Now, either he did or he didn't. Either Peter told the truth, or Peter told a lie. And so, I think we can see beyond this kind of that. Well, what is it, if you would, concerning this idea, another quote that I want to present to you. How much? Another quote that I want to look at concerning the Gentile, concerning how can't say that I do not believe. Now, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 10, if you would, folks. Acts chapter 10. Or 15. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 15. Here's Peter with others at this so-called Jerusalem conference are trying to discuss this and find out, do the Gentile converts to Christ have to be baptized and keep the law of Moses? Now, if you would, let's notice in verse number 6, the apostles and elders came together for consideration of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how the good one would go come and make choice among us, that they who? 10 miles, by a mile out, should hear the word of the gospel and believe, I'll ask a question, folks. That is the question that's out there. That's a whole world. That refers to the Gentiles. That refers to the Gentiles. I want to ask that. Did Peter himself go to every single Gentile that ever obeyed the gospel? Well, we know that he didn't. And so Peter is right here. I went to Cornelius. He was a Gentile. He said that they represented him of that. And so the idea, I think, is very clear. The apostle ones are the Gentiles. I guess we declared last night in his last speech that there's a horn of dilemma that comes on. And he cannot see the correlation between Acts chapter 5, verse 32, and Acts chapter 10, the events of the house of Cornelius. Now, what is the particular reasoning for this? He is saying that for one to give the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, he must repent and be baptized. Well, friends, I do not doubt that no person receiving the laying on of apostolic hands, okay, I didn't say that receiving the miraculous, I said the laying on of apostolic hands, by which, except for one opinion of the house of Cornelius, was always, as far as we're able to tell, the method by which the miracles were given. And so, if we look at this, notice if you would believe that the apostle Peter went to the Gentiles, and that there was a miracle that transpired at the house of Cornelius. Now, that's it. I've got a dilemma. Well, what is the dilemma? He said, Acts 5:32, refers to all Christians generally. We are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost of God. Also is the Holy Ghost of God have him to be obeying one. And he said, does everybody obey? I have explained that place time after time after time. Now, he's got the audacity to stand up here and say, Tom, in the third clause of verse 32, there is not a mention of the miraculous. Well, if you read Acts chapter 4, verse 31 and verses following, you'll find that the great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. The miracles are not mentioned there. Does that mean they were just shouting loud or making a lot of noise? Is that what the passage means? No. The miracles, as a word, they are not mentioned. But it's just talking about it all down there. It obviously is just the obeying ones. And Cornelius received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before he became a Christian. Now watch it, folks. Watch what he's doing. He is not tying the two together based upon my definition of the obeying ones, but upon his. There is no problem between Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. At the house of Cornelius, if you understand that the Apostle Peter was saying the Holy Spirit, as he is working through us and others, is confirming the truth. We are bearing witness as it were together. And at the house of Cornelius, it was a special event. Very special. I want to ask a question. Friends of the Jews and the mindset they had, do you ever think that they would have gone to the Gentiles except for a miracle? Peter saw what they did. Why is Peter giving me? All I'm going to do, I've never eaten anything wrong, so I'm doing what God has told clean, all around that earth is clean. You find that in Acts chapter 10. And finally, then we find that he went under the guidance of the Spirit to the house of Cornelius. And we find that as he was preaching there, the Bible says that as he began to speak in Acts chapter 11, as he explains that, the Spirit came upon the Gentiles, upon the house of Cornelius. Now, friends, the only thing that I can ever say is that the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit is found twice, and both is in a miraculous context. I have never said that the same thing of Acts 2 is that which was exemplified in Acts chapter 10. I said it was the miraculous. I've never said it was exactly the same thing. I don't believe that. But the events of the house of Cornelius were very special, and that was to show that the Gentiles would be accepted. And so, friends, I would ask you to consider. Let's start very early, if you would please, to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Now we've dealt with that, and I want to look at it again. Titus chapter 3. Read with me, please, the statement of this man inspired or the recipient of the letter. And he is saying, or Paul is saying here, in verse number 4, that the kindness and love of God, that is through our Savior Jesus Christ, not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the law of the Holy Spirit. And then he says what you said on the Bible for Jesus Christ, filled with the tear, and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he can't afford our own problem. And that's where I have the problem. Yeah, that you were right. I just said, lady, there is no excuse for that. But friends, here is the idea of a reference to the standing of the Spirit or the 44. And that verb that is presented there, as I've already stated, have before the Greek preposition, which denotes source or origin or out of. And so I ask you to kindly consider, friends, when we're looking at the idea of the miraculous of the first century, let's keep it there. Does that mean that every single statement is curtailed by the practice? No. But it does mean that we have to consider the statements as they are made, put it in a proper context, don't be guilty of anachronism of taking them out and applying them to the body. And that's what Brother Patton, I must say this kindly, is doing as he looks at this particular thing. Friends, the Spirit of God dwells in us through the Word. I have proved that. He admits that. He argues that the Holy Spirit is that which is the person of the Holy Spirit, is that which is poured out. But friends, that cannot be the case. That cannot be the case. Because he does not say there is anything other than the so-called seal, which is not clean. There is nothing but there that he calls the earth, which is not clean. It is not earth. It is not fell. And no one does it manifest itself. It is just simply based upon the Word of God, which, my friends, the miraculous manifestations confirm and substantiate it in the first century. So let's place these in their proper context. Let's look at them very closely. Friends, consider. I ask you, I beg of you, to consider very carefully that Brother Pat is carrying this. He is trying to put up here a cloud and not distinguish between the miraculous of the first century and the promises pertaining to the miraculous, and putting them together in the 21st century. Well, again, there are other things in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 6. Notice here he says, again, that we call our reading verse 4, and when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made a woman by under the law, skip down to the verse 5, to redeem us that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons, and because you are sons. Well, notice here, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son. Now He says that's the Holy Spirit. Now you're going to go, why, that's the Romans 8:9. But friends, that's not the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of His Son. It is the Spirit of adoption. Read on that Acts. Sorry, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. We don't have the Spirit of bondage again, look here, but the Spirit of adoption. Whereby, look at it. What places we cry,